Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
We are here again, everybody. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
My name is Rich.
And Ken.
Hello.
That's Ken, designer Ken, that's what we're calling
him. That's right. We've got our special guest on for a special 2008 edition of the show.
You know, all that makes me think of is designer Barbie.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was considered before the show started.
Except you don't design Ken, he designs you in Soviet Russia or something like that.
Okay, well, that's how we start a 2008 version of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. If you want to learn more about the show, feel free to go over to chatterboxgameshow.com or one of the 18 other aliases we have for the domain name. And we talk about games, talk about the video game industry, stuff like that. You want to call into the show if you're listening live. The phone number is 866-536-1100. And you can also talk to us live while we're doing the show. At least Rich, he pays attention the whole time. At the website, there's a live chatter room. You pay attention, right, Rich?
Oh, I'm on the IRC. I'm not on the website. I'm on MIRC. What? It's the same thing. It's
whatever.
Whatever.
Are you trying to like bring out your like ultra uber geek card
I'm not. My computer crashes when Java loads because I'm running Vista in Firefox, and it doesn't work. So I have to use MIRC.
Sure everyone knows you're rocking the IRC.
Yeah,
you're not
going
to like mess around with no web clients there.
All right. Well, as much as we try to avoid our nerd tendencies here, it's quite impossible considering the content of the show. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about. You, Ara, were telling me that Dirt and Street Fighter 2 kind of have the panties in a bunch.
Yes. Well, you know, it's always got to be one thing or the other, right?
Right. Well, we've talked about Dirt before, and that's what surprised me that you want to bring it up again. But Street Fighter 4 has certainly been in the news a little bit lately.
Yeah. So they released another video. I guess they've been like releasing videos. And I pretty much ignore all videos that they put online, especially like trailers or whatever, because I'm just like, okay, you know. Oh, here's a random animation that is like tertiarily related to what the game's going to be. Like, this is really exciting. Great. But they actually released some real gameplay or what seems to be looking like gameplay, right? So this is pretty exciting. And like Street Fighter 4, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is a game that's like the most popular and one of the most awesome fighting games ever made. Like, finally a new one's coming out, right?
Well, see, the thing is, Street Fighter 2 lived for as long as it lived because they let it be amazing. They made us want Street Fighter 3 for so long. When it finally came out, nobody paid that much attention. Like, only the hardcore fighting fans, and I was one of them at some point, paid attention to Street Fighter 3, but almost nobody played it, in my opinion. At least I didn't. I don't know anybody who owns Street Fighter 3.
Right.
Played Street Fighter 3.
It didn't have the staying power that the original did. But really, I mean, like, you know, it was good. It was really good. It stayed true to, you know, a lot of the sensibilities of the series.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I thought it was actually a great game. I mean, I tried to play it when I saw it in arcades.
It wasn't
and stuff,
like that, you know, that previous attempt at doing 3D, which was, you know, Street Fighter EX Alpha.
Yeah.
What, number 3 or whatever, right?
I don't think it had a number, really.
Didn't it have a number?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, there's
too many of them.
Right. Anyway. So I'm getting, like, flashbacks from that game, right? When I'm looking at this one, I mean, like, okay, the graphics look all better. I mean, as far as, like, you know, the background looks really beautiful, and it's all rendered in 3D, and that's great and everything, right? One of the hangups that I have, I should say one of the concerns, right, is that, you know, when you're actually rendering things in three dimensions, especially in terms of animation, it sounds counterintuitive, but it's actually more restrictive than doing animations in 2D. Because in 2D, you can have things happen, like, you can have something move, you know, from one point to the other in, like, one frame, right? You can have things, like, kind of, like, stretch and overlap each other and things like that, and it's no big deal, right?
Why is it no big deal?
Because you're just using a sprite to represent the whole thing, right? I mean, if you look at sprites from a lot of 2D fighting games, for example, a lot of times, like, the whole sprite for a certain frame, for example, like, the arm might actually be stretched more than normal, right? Or there'll be like a blur instead of the hand, right? And like you can do these things, right? You can do them very easily in 2D. Or, you know, if you're trying to show some kind of like complex leg work or something, right? It's not a problem to have like one leg over the other or whatever because you just draw it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to think about all this other stuff that you now have to think about in three dimensions, which is now I have this body, right? I have this mass that I have to displace through space and make sure things don't overlap each other And now, like, I'm actually articulating, you know, the joints and the rigging of the thing. And, you know, there's so many more things you have to keep track of, right? And a game like Street Fighter is the type of game where the animation precision in terms of, like, what happens and what you see on a frame-to-frame level is incredibly crucial for gameplay. So, I don't know. I think they have, like, this enormous, enormous task ahead of them. And honestly, unless they do something that's, like, really, really just miracle-like, I don't know if this 3D stuff's going to fly for a game like this.
Well, there have been a lot of 3D fighting games that have been successful.
Yeah, and they're all
successful.
Crap.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look back, Killer Instinct used 3D models in a totally 2D game.
Right, but that was, like, rotoscoped, right? So, like, they still had the... I mean, they were still 2D sprites, right? They were just, like, rotoscoped from original, like, 3D assets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So what makes you think that they can't pull off the same thing... Street Fighter 4.
It can be done, right? I just don't think that it can be done with the degree and the degree of quality and level of precision that you need to make a really, really awesome fighting game. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about the little details that really
made... Were you a big fighter fan back in the day?
You know, I mean, honestly, like, Street Fighter 2, that whole series was the only one that I could actually become competent in.
Well, because you and I have not once...
Yeah.
Not a single time ever played a fighting game together.
No, you're right. That's interesting.
In fact, admittedly, you and I have played very few games together, actually. People might find that surprising.
Well, you know, it might have something to do with you living 80 miles away from me.
That may have something to do with it, perhaps.
Our Amakui is complaining about your term, the rotoscope. He's saying it should be called pre-render. I don't know if you want to...
Rotoscope is a common term
I've
heard before.
Pre-render, that's acceptable.
Okay.
We like him because he uses the Chatterbox Gamer Pick on Xbox Live, so
yeah.
It's okay. He can bitch a little bit.
Okay, okay.
By the way, I've been seeing a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
It's very. I was going through a list because I play the puzzle games a lot, so I was going through Carcassonne, looking at the rankings. It's very important to me.
People use our logo?
Yeah, dude. I was scrolling through. Some guy, man, I really should remember the name if I want to be respectful and talk about how...
I use our logo.
Well, I know you do.
Yeah.
And Nameless Ted over here does. That's rich.
Yeah, my new gamertag doesn't because my gold ran out. Long story. Anyways, yeah.
All right, so we all do, and my roommate does. But then I was going through the rankings, and I saw some guy, like, I don't know you. I don't know who that is, but he was using art. It was awesome. I'm sure it was a listener.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
I actually got a friend request with some completely unintelligible audio.
Oh, was it Scottish?
Yeah.
All
I could make out was just like a bad show and then blah, 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 and I'm just like, all right, I'll be your friend. Sure.
Well, the Xbox Live connections have been absolute ass for the past couple of weeks, so it might
have
had something to do with that. But I got the same. He warned me ahead of time in a message, and his name, I should remember it. It starts with a P, his gamer tag. So anyway, he warned me, like, I hope you can understand me with my thick Scottish accent. And whatever, you know, go ahead, fan of the show, you're in. And then he sends a voice message today that I listened to. I was like, oh my God, I have no idea what you're talking about. But man, it was funny. Those Europeans have some funny voices.
Yeah, I didn't get such qualifications, but then again, maybe he said it and I didn't understand.
That's all right.
It's good stuff.
So anyway, the point is you should definitely use our gamer pick.
Yeah.
All right. So
it's free.
But this... See, now I want to talk about Xbox Live, but we're still talking about Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, well, that's all I had to say. I mean, like, this is like... It's really hard to do 3D... fighting games. It's really, really hard. You don't have the level of control that you do in 2D.
Is this the same complaint that resulted in the Killer Instinct games not having grappling? Well, the first one anyway, and the second one doing it poorly?
I don't know. But to address the question you said before about that, it's like, I don't know exactly how they made that game, but they did absolutely, since it was ultimately being output on a 2D level, right? They had the ability to adjust things like, you know, frame... animation durations in terms of frames and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, like, you have to have that ability to tune a game, especially a fighting game.
Such a micro level.
Yes, you need that micro level of tuning ability.
All right, I can appreciate that. I just, I'd love to hear from a designer of a 2D fighting game on that.
Me too.
All right. Ken, you don't design 2D fighting games, do you?
No, don't even play them.
Well, we'll talk about stuff that you actually do make when we come back.
Listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFX.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio 2008. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
My name is Rich.
And I'm Ken.
And as always, we'd like to start off the second segment by reminding everybody to visit uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advanced Technology. Now, Rich, you're taking some time off from the University of Advanced Technology, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to find a job right now. So.
You're going to find yourself, think maybe I will try harder and get A's the next semester.
Yeah, sure.
Especially in game design.
All right, well, Rich is going to try and get a job. I'd like to see you get a job somewhere that
related.
Helps me.
I need some yard work done. Yeah. Can you handle that, Rich?
Not really.
Do you remember when you worked
Five
at the
bucks.
Movie theater?
Yeah.
You worked at the movie theater, and then that helped me.
I remember that.
Was able to go see movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then, well, that was really all.
Yeah.
You worked at the movie theater, and I got to see movies.
Yep.
That's important.
I'll try to find something in your best interest along the
way. Quiznos.
Blockbuster.
I heard they don't even keep track of their inventory.
Well, the minimum wage just went up 15 cents today.
Oh.
By the way. So you need to ask for more money now. It's $6.90.
Oh, boy. $6.90. That's a weird number.
Well, it was
$6.70.
It was $6.75, and it went up 15 cents. It's due to – it like has to go up every year based on standard of living or cost of living or whatever.
Yep.
They just wanted to use the number 69.
Maybe.
I bet you that's what it was.
All right. So now –
I'm really excited.
About the minimum wage?
No, not about the minimum wage, because, it's the new year.
It is, 2008.
And it's 2008. And now, because of the new year, we're going to start a new segment here on Chatterbox Video Game
Radio.
Don't
say it if you can't pull it off, man. It's having a new segment every week. It's a difficult task.
Hey, every week, we're going to have a new series, and it's going to be on, hints and tips for gamers, right? And today's subject is going to be how to get thrown in jail for felony stalking.
I'd like to learn about that, please.
Do tell.
Proceed.
Well, the first step is buy an Xbox 360 and start playing on Xbox Live.
Check.
Step two, find and chat up one of the 12, 15-year-old girls who regularly play online.
Been there, done that.
Step three, text them incessantly. While they're distracted, Google their personal info to find their home address thousands of miles away in Spokane, Washington.
Now that's what I missed.
Step four, when they change their phone number because you're texting them so much, mysteriously send packages and flowers through the mail.
With white powder?
Step five, if you're still not arrested yet, in your spare time, start a band called I Love Ashley and put it up on MySpace.
I got nothing.
Step six. If it hasn't worked yet, all you need to do is drive 40 hours to their parents' house, tell them what kind of car you're driving, and then text message them saying, tell the cops I'm going to rape you and your sister.
Is it important to wear a diaper?
No, but I think it's important to say the word rape for some reason.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's enough. Enough with the music.
And these are the days I dream of.
So for those who don't know, this was a dramatization of a recent news story.
This is an education you do not get while attending the University of Advancing Technology.
No, we like to offer a little extra here at Chatterbox.
It's a public service.
And, apparently there's a lot of crazy people online who like to play Xbox Live. So
did I tell you about this time? I was playing poker on Xbox Live, and it was late at night. I don't know if it was midnight or 1.
Did you get hit on? Was someone hitting on you?
No, but it's even better, right? So I was really jonesing for a good game of poker,
it's
and for whatever reason.
Being hit on?
Let me tell my story.
Okay, this better be good.
All right. So as you know, I have this fancy computer equipment that records because we do this radio show here.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I was not prepared, but I went into a poker room. I think I played some, I don't even recall, but somehow I landed in a player. I must have done player match meet, just throw you in a match.
Yeah.
And I go to this table. And
one-on-one? Heads up?
No. But there were two other people, right? And I join, and I'm ready to play some poker. And
so
I hear,
it was a three-way?
So I hear these two people talking. I swear I told the story on the radio once. It's very apparently an older guy and a younger girl. Now, I don't know how young. The girl could very well have been 18 and probably was, right? So she wasn't too young, not like 10 or 11, but she certainly wasn't past college. And so the guy actually asks me to leave the room. And I turn off the mic. I'm not even going to risk a response.
Wow.
But so I just stay there and I pretend like I'm not even, I just, I don't make bets.
Stand
or
still.
Anything.
Maybe they won't notice you.
I just pretend like, oh, I must have gone off and got some cereal and left the game on or something.
Yeah, because right. That happens. You know, it happens all the time.
It is very clear this guy is trying to pick up this girl, and you know, I'm sure he's just having fun. Like, he's probably 45, has a wife he doesn't like, you know, doesn't rub his feet enough or something. But I was scrambling to get my equipment together. I've got to record this. How the hell can I get this and play it on the air? This is the funniest thing ever. And then the Xbox, like at that time, the giant box of power that hangs from every Xbox and doesn't overheat if you have it floating from the ceiling. So we had it hanging off a shelf. But as you know, it's two parts, right?
Yeah.
The power cord plugs into the giant power box and that goes into the Xbox. And like I hit it somehow and it disconnected. Oh. I lost the connection. So I had to boot it back up, get back into the room. It's like, oh, who was I playing with, you know, in the last 5 minutes? Because I had that thing.
Yep.
Then I was able to join the room again. This all happened over like a course of 20 minutes. My stupid roommate, he had cut the audio cables on the Xbox because he used them to connect longer speaker wire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but eventually he moved on to optical audio. So now all he has is the rinky-dink little video cables mm-hmm. and no audio. They're just cut. They're the metal hanging things. So I can't use those to plug into my computer. So, and the it just... Bottom line, it was not working out for me. I did not get it recorded until they left the room. I finally figured out how to get it recorded or find cables.
You know, that was like a one-in-a-lifetime chance.
Oh.
Did you at least get a phone number?
I got nothing.
Maybe an address you could send gifts and flowers to?
See, this is the thing. I'd love to do a weekly segment of this, of people trying to pick up other people through Xbox Live and just play, record it, and play it on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
For 2 minutes every night, like that, or every week. That would be great radio. And I was so mad because it was going to be fantastic. But
that
anyway, that's my story.
Humorous.
That's my story. And I didn't get a restraining order in the mail afterwards.
So. Well, there's always next time, yeah.
That was good.
You didn't drive 40 hours either to someone who lives with their parents' house.
He might have,
house.
But he's not going to talk about that.
No. That's an Xbox achievement, right?
It's actually ironic that you mentioned this whole thing, because just last night there was a rerun of at Law & Order SVU or whatever, where... the whole premise was a guy who stalked a girl through the game Another Universe, which is clearly just a copy of Second Life, right? But for Hollywood. And somehow I was in trance and had to watch it. And it was, you know, some girl got kidnapped and stuck with injections because she didn't love the guy who kidnapped her. Big surprise.
Was it a realistic depiction of video games?
You know, I don't play Second Life, so I don't know how much it
There's
looks real.
There's no plane involved in Second Life.
Well, it certainly looked like better visuals than I would expect in games these days, but maybe Second Life has enhanced their graphics. I don't know if you have a good enough graphics card.
Yeah.
Don't know. It doesn't matter.
That kind of reminds me of like that one episode of Growing Pains where they're like playing some game and you looked at the screen and it looked like Super Bass is loaded on the SNES or whatever, but they were making like Pac-Man 2600 sound effects.
Every TV show is like that, though. With any video game, like if they're playing like a PSP or a DS or anything, you hear just like these really like 2-bit sounds coming out of the system.
Yeah, it's video games.
Yeah.
Sound effect. It's video games, guys. It's video games.
It all has to do with licensing. They go, we're going to use the video game soundtrack license, which costs 5 cents a show or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got this whole guest in the studio, and he hasn't actually talked for this show. We're going to go to a break in a minute, but I want to let everyone know, Ken, you told me you work on what kind of game, at least you have historically.
Well, in Australia, basically, you only get a chance to work on kids' games most of the time.
Australians don't make real video games.
He's from Australia, if you haven't noticed.
I did.
Yeah, he's from Australia. Yeah.
So essentially you're saying people don't make games that aren't kid games.
No, they do. They make some really cool games, and there's but the opportunities to work on them are very limited in Australia. So most game developers in Australia work on kids' games.
The population in Australia is 90% 10-year-olds.
Well, isn't there also a movement of adult video games?
Oh, sure.
I imagine.
Sure, but most of those are made overseas. So
overseas from Australia? Or
AAA titles generally get made in America and Asia. They don't get made in Australia. Some do.
Gotcha. All right. Well, maybe I can kick it up a notch. And is that why you came here? Because you wanted to work on a...
Pretty much.
All right, yeah. And you got probably stuck working on kids' games here at
no.
in the States?
No, it was a close call, but I dodged that bullet.
All right, well, I had wanted to talk about Xbox Live being lame, and we've got, like, apparently 1 minute, I hear, in the ear. So for those who have not been trying to get on Xbox Live, it's been sucking hardcore.
Yep.
And it's been preventing me from playing my amazing games of Catan and Carcassonne lately. But that's all right, I guess.
Oh, that just reminded me. Of the Might and Magic demo.
Might and Magic.
How did this remind you of Might and Magic?
Xbox Live demo just came out.
Okay.
What Might and Magic?
I don't know. Some Might and Magic, whatever, whatever. You know, that game with the goofy guy.
Dark Messiah?
Yeah, yeah. With the goofy guy in the suit of armor.
All right. Clearly this segment's going downhill fast. We're just going to go to break, folks. We'll be right back.
All right.
You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
And again, we're back. The Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
My name's Zara.
My name is Rich.
And I'm Ken.
There we go. See, I wish we could.
Just like that.
Alana or Rich and Ken. Bam.
Back into the show.
So now Ken
No delays.
Ken is a game designer with Aura at do we name the company that you're we do, right?
Yeah, well I think it's all right if we probably don't name anything else after that.
Well yeah, I mean you work at Rainbow.
It's Rainbow Studios.
Do you work at Rainbow or at THQ? Because I know they're pretty much in the same spot. Well,
THQ is the umbrella company that owns Rainbow Studios.
Well, I know, but like you specifically work at Rainbow, but also have THQ working Rainbow.
Yeah, he sits like
building,
right next to me.
Yeah, I work for Rainbow.
Okay, so you are with Rainbow. All right, so now prior to this, though, you were in Australia and working on kids' games, as we established in the earlier segment.
Yes.
And I remember actually I met listeners of our show may be familiar with Gamer Steve. He does a podcast as well. So I've met and hung out with him a couple times at GDC, or at least one time extensively. And he talked to me about working on kids' games, and I guess he probably owned the company that did these things, and it wasn't console games, which is tradition. I mean, it's basically what you've done, right?
Right.
So what games have you worked on?
Okay. Nobody's going to know any of these games.
Not important.
They're Australian, right?
Say Asterix and Obelix, and no one here will know what you're talking
about. The first game I worked on was a game called Championship Surfer, but with Chrome Studios, which is the first company I worked with. And then I worked on Extremely Goofy Skateboarding.
And can we stop for a second? Did you say you worked for Chrome Studios?
Chrome. K-R-O-M-E.
Okay, because Chrome Studios making kids' games, I thought, was a little bit strange.
Yeah, oh, you know, they had aspirations for bigger things. Didn't work out.
They love being ironic.
Yeah. And then I worked on Barbie's Beach Party, but I don't talk about that too much.
Oh, see, I'm looking for a Barbie game.
Yeah,
this is good ammo for The Office. You don't even know.
Considering the designer Ken thing from earlier. All right, moving on.
You just have to hit Moby Games, you'll find it. And then I worked on number one and two of Tyler the Tasmanian Tiger.
Really?
Yeah.
Not do poorly.
No, that is quite – number one particularly I thought was a pretty good game.
I'm glad to hear that. And most recently you worked on – what was it, the Avatar title?
Yeah, then I worked on SpongeBob SquarePants game called Lights, Camera, Pants.
There is a hideous sounding SpongeBob game that just was released on Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah.
Something about underpants. I think that's a common theme in the SpongeBob world.
Yeah, yeah. I worked on the game and I don't get the title, so that's okay. But and then I worked on Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Okay, I was going to ask, is that the thing that involves airbending?
Yes. And the funny thing is, there's a lot of Europeans working on that, and bending is another word for being gay. So there was much guffawing going on throughout the entire project.
Nice.
Being lead designer, I didn't get much respect as a result.
All right. Yeah. That's good to know. So,
you were like the lead airbender?
Yeah, we don't talk about it. What happens in Avatar stays in Avatar, right?
So you appear to be kind of shy about the fact that you've worked in kids' games, but when I was talking to Gamer Steve, he talked about, it's like, man, you know, you might not think much about it, but it's very lucrative. Like, he was working more on Flash games and stuff on the internet.
Sure.
Like, when you get a Kellogg's box and it either has a CD on it or says, go to our website and play these games, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you pour in no money at all. You don't care that much about quality assurance because the games aren't big enough that they're going to have a ton of bugs anyway. But on top of that, even if they do,
who cares?
Eh.
Yeah. And kids don't care anyway.
I'm waving the arms up, you know.
They'll play anything.
Yeah, they'll play anyway. And it's like you pay a few guys who know what they're doing, right? They have to put a game together in like no time, so they're skilled people. But at the same time, then, I mean, you're contracted. You know how much money you're going to make from the beginning, so you determine how much you're making because you're making the game for whomever. I don't know if he ever made anything for Kellogg's. I just brought it up, right? But He said very, very lucrative because it's easy to do. It's short-term projects. There's not you don't have to deal with turnover, and you make a lot of money, especially when you own the company.
I think it depends what sort of kid games you make. Kids games actually make more money than all the AAA titles combined. That's just the bulk of the market. So,
well, Ara has reminded us that Cars last year...
Cars sold really well.
In 2006. That was the year before last.
The number two game.
And then...
Period.
What's the high school musical on the Wii sold, like, a lot of copies, which is just ridiculous, because I have no idea how they can make a game about the High School Musical, but it sold a lot.
Yeah, kids' games, they're basically licensed games most of the time, and they're just sure hits. They sell a lot. They sell a lot of units.
Yep. Well, that's why there's Nicktoons games up the wazoo.
And Nicktoons are the guys that we dealt with.
So I mean, do you have experience working on other types of games aside from the work that you're doing with Rainbow right now?
No. Every game, Championship Surfer was a hardcore surfing game. It was the first game in the genre, if you like. It's not a very big genre, but it was the first of its type.
And when did it come out?
Oh, that was like... There were several versions of it, and a number two.
Because there was one that came out on the PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a PlayStation Kelly Slater version.
Yes.
For Pro Surfer.
Yeah. That's it.
Wait, is that the game that you were working on?
Yeah.
Oh.
And PlayStation 2.
So did it just have different monikers? That's why I didn't think of it when...
Yes, they had different versions of it for the different consoles.
Okay.
And it sort of... There was a 1.5 version, and
Gotcha. So working on the kids' games, now, like I said, I talked to Gamer Steve, and he talked about how great a business model it was, right?
Sure.
Didn't certainly talk about it being a very exciting job.
There are some people who are really into it, and it's a science all on its own. And the guys at Chrome Studios, for instance, took it very seriously because they talk about respecting the audience and all that. And no doubt it was lucrative, but that was the sort of gameplay they liked. For me, I want to make games that I want to play. Like, I'm an old school gamer, really. I'm mainly PC, so playing kids games, it's not normally what I do.
Well, making a kids game essentially just means putting people in a colorful audience, having them run around and collect stuff, which is what the new SpongeBob is on Xbox Live. It makes me so mad to think that all you do is collect stuff.
Pretty much.
But that's a common theme in kids games. So where did I want to go with this?
I think possibly making me look bad.
No, that's not my intention.
I was going to ask, you guys don't put like naughty stuff in the game, like Disney in their movies?
No, I tried to get
like shaping things.
You can get into a great deal of trouble doing stuff like that.
Yeah, okay, they...
coders nick, like when they name files, they are files, that is. They have been known to nick to put, you know, colorful names.
And uh-huh.
I've gotten in trouble for something like that before.
Well, it actually cost Chrome a great deal of money at one point.
Ooh,
because
really?
It had to recall and change everything.
Because it was a PC
that's
game.
Worse.
I'm sorry?
It was a PC game where you might actually see file names.
Yes.
It was the Barbie game?
Yeah, oh boy, no, we don't talk about that.
Now, you might recall, actually, that Tiger Woods by EA for the original PlayStation, I don't know which version of it, might have been the
something.
First one. It had the entire South Park, the original South Park episode.
Oh, yeah.
Not a cartoon episode. It was like the prior to the cartoon actually coming out.
Just the paper.
It was their Christmas card thing. The whole thing that started South Park, right? And that whole like 100 megabyte movie file was actually, you could just pop it in your computer and play it full of swears. If you know what South Park is, right? So that was actually on the PlayStation game disc. That was
right.
Yeah, that joke was totally worth it.
that was strange how it ended up on the final release copy. But like, how did the experience really differ? Aside from the fact that, okay, you're working on perhaps many games that you don't really enjoy that much, but I mean, you still sort of pour in elements that you think are good, right?
Yeah, and it's, for me, it was a good apprenticeship. But if you're designing particularly, your sense of fun's attached to what you enjoy. So if you don't enjoy kiddie-style gameplay, then it's difficult to design it enthusiastically, if you like.
And do you also have like a bunch of child psychologists and stuff hanging out talking to the designers to try and help them make a game that would actually appeal to kids?
Oh, no way. Yeah.
Seriously?
No. Of course
he's
not.
This child psychologist.
I've got
pizza and Coke, and that's it.
But children's television shows, like what the Wuzzles or whatever the hell they're called, the thing with the things on their heads...
Teletubbies?
Yeah, of course,
Wuzzles?
You know.
Wuzzles?
What? Yeah, I don't know.
That's straight
maybe
up
it's worse that I
hardcore
know what they are
brainwashing
called.
Right there.
So, I mean, those things, and then the people who played the band with the feather sword, what are the
I don't know what that is.
That
come
sounds
on.
Pretty disgusting, if
feather
you ask
sword?
Me.
Captain Feather Sword, arr!
Ask me.
Yeah.
Somebody on the chat will know what I'm talking about.
Is it really a sword?
Yes. Anyway, these people, like, it was like four child psychologists, and they start making a show, and very, very successful.
Right.
And you're telling me that you've never had anybody.
No. There's just a bunch of lawyers and licenses.
Well, I bet we could make a successful child's game if we actually paid attention to people who know about children. All right, that's our job next year.
There's an idea.
Possible.
All right, I want to talk more about that. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
My name is Rick.
I'm Ken.
And we were just talking about DOS and the wonders of...
See DOS run?
Just the wonders of computing, how it's come so far these days, and how you can't really count on your processor actually doing mathematics properly. Remember the Pentiums? They had an issue. And mm-hmm. now, more recently, I think there was some issue with another Intel processor. Just, oh, sorry, you add these two numbers together and they fail.
So you're one of those command line snobs.
No, not at all. But if I were actually writing code and implementing a large-scale business, I would want to be running command line.
If I was writing code, I'd write an operating system that didn't ask you if you were sure 13 times to do something.
Did you get Vista recently? Is that what happened?
No. I've just seen other people use it. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Why so
out
many
how to
times?
Turn that off immediately.
At least it is good to know that the U.S. government apparently is turning to Macs more and more these days to just try and hedge the bets that in case... you know, something bad would happen. At least it would only happen to half the machines.
And the CIA uses the Unreal Engine. Did you know that?
Okay.
I'm probably going to be paid a visit
for
tonight.
What?
But
yeah,
that's for them to know.
Like
for
the
you
original
not to know.
Unreal Engine?
Yeah, the Unreal Engine. Yeah, CIA.
That's why important. It's important for you and the University
I'm
of Advanced Technology.
I'm probably never going to see any of you guys again now.
That's cool.
So you need to study up at UAT, learn how to use the Unreal Engine, and then go work for the Pentagon.
Virtual interrogation.
I think they're going to use it to simulate an invasion into my house.
That'd be sweet.
That's already been done. All right, so we're talking about kids' games. And you Ken,
yes.
Someone who works at Rainbow Studios and once made a lot of kiddie games.
Yes.
You were telling me that they really don't even involve anybody who knows anything about kids to make these games.
Not that I saw. But then...
Was anyone surprised about that?
I've never heard the question asked before.
No, this is, you know what? You're bringing up an interesting point.
I tend to do that.
And I kind of alluded to this in the previous segment. And I think all of you will agree that, remember when we were kids and we played some video games? And remember the extraordinary, immense amount of patience and tolerance that we had for the most absolutely inane, stupid things in games? I mean, I remember, you know, when the Nintendo first came out, right? Some of the games we played, like Carnov, Ghosts
and
Goblins.
Carnov was a good game.
Oh, man. Play it again.
It was a horrible ending. The ending, you beat the last guy, and then the black screen comes on. It says, congratulations, with no S, and then credits roll.
Nice.
That was the whole ending to Carnov.
Hey,
great game.
Mario
they
me.
Were these games, I mean, we have such fond memories of them, right? But if you really think about it, they took so much trial and error and repetition over and over and over just to become competent at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just remember I had so much more tolerance when I was a little kid. I could play anything and not demand that much for it. Now, right, I'm like old surly gamer now, like, you know, play for 5 seconds, and if I see something I don't like, throw it away kind of thing, right?
No, keep it so you can talk about it on the show. That's how you usually roll.
Or that sort of thing.
I usually just get rid of it.
But it's not that times have changed or anything. That's how kids are. Have you ever watched kids?
No, it is. So what I'm saying is that the importance of actually like crafting a very, very specific and precise work seems to be not so important if your market is just kids, because they won't care as much as adults will.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be precise, but the Wiggles is the name of the group that I was trying to think of before the break Captain Feather Sword.
Never, is that like an Australian thing? What? I've never heard of that.
Actually, it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They are, but they've been imported to the U.S. and to many other countries.
We're very proud of that.
Yeah. So it's these four, like, psychologist guys, and they dress up in purple and orange and yellow and green.
Actually, one of them was a lead singer of a band.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, and they do.
Was it Midnight Oil?
They actually do concerts. They do concerts, and like moms with their little kids come out and they dance and hot potato, right? And then kids love this stuff.
Oh, they're preschool superstars.
And it's They are.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have the nephews. I've seen
well,
it
I'm
happen.
Sure that a child psychologist would know much better than
but
any
the,
old Joe.
The point is, yeah, they put stuff on screen. They put together little skits.
Yeah.
You can't fathom how anyone bears to watch it. And what's weird, too, is not only are the kids watching,
is
the
it
parents
subliminal?
Watch it.
Like, maybe there's, like, some erratic flashing on the screen.
There's some hormonal change after you actually poop out a child that says, I love this stuff. Because I've seen my sister... Her nephews watch it, and then she wants it. Not only that, then she buys the CDs, and they play them in the car, and they buy the stupid feather sword accessory, and like, they take them to the concert, and you watch on TV, you see the concert happen, and it's the moms and the dads, a few dads anyway, probably trying to pick up the moms, playing with the kids, and they're loving the music, and they're happy. They got genuine smiles on their face, and it's because they have kids. If they did not have kids, they would, what the hell are we watching? But they have the kids love it, so the parents love it. And if they put these two things together and made video games with that sort of content that a designer would never consider because it's completely unintelligible. No idea why Captain Feather Sword needs to have a feather sword, but apparently it works and it's pink and I don't know. Anyway, I'm going off on a long rant.
That sounds very Freudian, you know, especially now that I know that psychologists have thought it up.
Were you the only designer on the kids' games that you were making?
No. In fact, I wasn't even a designer. On most of them, I was what was called the level editor, and I started in QA, so I found bugs. So.
Oh, you're that story where you start off in QA and you end up actually doing a real job?
I actually started on a computer game site that we started in Australia called Big Kid, and we all got jobs in the industry through that, and then worked our way up.
Right on. So when people ask us how you get in the industry, and we usually tell them, get a job in QA, apparently it's true.
It's a good way to do it.
All right, and then you get to make kids' games.
Kids' games. Go to Australia, make kids' games. And then come back to America and make not kids games.
Yeah. Really, my advice to all our listeners, my advice to the listeners is if you can just find your way to Australia for whatever reason.
They'll probably hire you if you're in Australia.
No, they have very strict hiring practices there. It's a pain in the butt.
I'd suggest if you're in the U.S.
Stay here.
Yeah, because then you don't have to come back.
But Australia would be fun.
Oh, it is. It's great. And don't get me wrong. I have to say there are some very good companies there making some very good games that are adult content games. You know, grown gamer.
Like mature.
Yeah,
like
real totally. Games.
I'm struggling over the different... What you guys, the expressions you guys use here, I have to be very careful, right?
Yeah, well, we can say fanny pack on the air. And
yeah,
it doesn't hurt anybody's
don't
feelings.
Want to say
yeah, we can say feather sword on the air.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Feather sword is... I think that's clear.
So I just think they could have eliminated half the designers on your projects if they brought in one child psychologist and said, hey, we're going to make a game with, like, puffy things with stuff on their head and feather swords.
You know, I hate to say this, but design is actually a pretty new... job description in the games industry. Before there was no such thing as a designer, the coder was the designer.
Did you know that we're kind of like psychologists?
I've seen you psychoanalyze.
We're analyzing you right now.
Well, it's actually quite true. I mean, when I first met you and I go over and play, hey, we'll play this game Red Star. That's
and I'll be like, don't mind my fingers. I'm just placing these electrodes on your forehead.
Yeah. I have to say, sorry, about kids' games, that I really think one of the disturbing things that trends in design at the moment for me is that generally it underestimates the intelligence of the audience. And that's certainly true in kids' games.
Well, what's the range that they
that's
look at? Are they
point,
looking at
actually.
3 to 8-year-olds? Do they consider like the 3 to 15?
It depends. Yeah, you know, it depends on the rating. There's all sorts of ratings like for movies. But generally, it's 3 to 10.
They underestimate the intelligence of the audience, and then they put in all these crazy devices that are supposedly like helping the player figure out what's going on, but they don't really help the player figure out anything.
Time sinks. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's like a whole other show I could talk about that.
Well, clearly one of our New Year's resolutions will be to actually finish topics that we begin on this show. Because in fine Chatterbox style, we have run out of time once again, which I guess just proves that we talk about good stuff.
Send us more money so our show can be longer.
Yeah. Well, as usual, we want to ask you to send us emails. You can go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. That's what I'm trying to say. And send us that stuff and send us your Xbox Live invites. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.